Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for joining me. It's my pleasure to be able to spend some time with you and introduce you to some really smart people, like our good friend Max Schultz. Max has been with us many times on the show before. He's an outstanding member of our Brain Trust. But where he gets his paycheck is at the Manhattan Institute. He's a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute Center for Energy Policy, and he's here to talk to us about why oil prices have been so high and why they currently seem to be coming down. Max, welcome back to the show.
Hey, good morning, Jim. How are you?
All right, it's good to have you back. You know, Max, one of the things that I've been saying for a long time, and I'm not an expert in this area, but I do have my instincts, and I speak to people who I trust, and it seems to me that a lot of the reason for the higher price of oil has part of it has been demand, the relationship between supply and demand, but a lot of it has been speculation. Now I want the audience to remember that I've never said speculation was a bad thing. Speculation is a very legitimate, legal, and appropriate part of our marketplace. The bad part to me, Max, is what is causing these people to speculate on future oil. What do you think?
No, I think that is an excellent point. People need to realize kind of what speculation is, who speculators are. Speculators are traders who are betting on the future price of oil. The question about how much speculators are causing the run up in the price of oil versus whether they're just betting against they don't have any control over is the question. I know that some people claim that speculators are adding quite a bit to the price of oil, maybe 20-30%. I'm not sure how much it is, but I will say that as I just mentioned a moment ago, people do need to recognize who speculators are, what they're doing, what participation in the market means. Oftentimes, they're folks who are trying to hedge against future price increases.
Well, farmers, you're a farmer out there trying to make sure that he doesn't get caught short with some kind of a global situation he has no control over or she has no control over. They're speculators when they hedge.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, the farmers, in the case of energy, it's anyone who's kind of a large energy consumer. Oftentimes, it's airlines, it's refineries, folks who purchase large volumes of energy. A lot of businesses, small businesses too, do this, and they're betting against what they think energy prices are going to be in the future. It also should be pointed out when people talk about some sort of the bubble being caused by speculators that any time anyone takes out an option that the price of oil is going to be higher in the future, there's got to be someone on the other side of that trade making the bet that the price is going to go lower. It is a fundamental part of the market. It adds a discipline to the pricing structure in the markets. Speculation. For all the demonization of speculation is a good and necessary thing.
One of the things, though, that I do believe that speculation has created the bubble, because I don't believe that demand has doubled and yet prices have doubled in about a year, and they've gone up exponentially in about the last 5 or 6 years. So I don't believe demand has increased that much. So I think speculation has been part of it. But the question is, what is causing these people to speculate? And what's causing them to speculate is they're concerned about the availability of oil. And why don't we have more availability of oil? Max, tell us.
Yeah, well, no, you're right about that. That's an excellent point. It's not as if the demand has risen so dramatically. It is rising steadily, and there's a very tight margin between supply and demand. But more than that is kind of worries about what's going to happen in the future. There's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of political instability in the world. There is a concern that demand is going to continue to rise, which is a good thing because that's a reflection of productive economic activity in the U.S. and around the world. But, you know, it's worries about, you know, whether pipelines will get blown up in Nigeria.
Yep.
Something bad happens in the Middle East. If Hugo
yep.
Chavez continues his madness in Venezuela.
Every time Ahmadinejad says sneezes in the direction of Israel, there's a run-up in prices.
You're right about that. But there are other signals that go to the market, too, and one of them is an apparent seriousness on the part of the United States that we're at least considering very seriously adding more supply to the world market. You know, President Bush issued his executive order last week overturning the executive moratorium on offshore oil
right.
drilling. I think that sent a signal to the market.
Don't you think that's one of, in addition to the strengthening of the dollar a little bit, that is the main reason why oil has come down from near 150 to around 125 now?
Yeah, I don't know if it's the main reason, but I think it contributes somewhat. I mean, it's, you know, immediately after the president made that announcement, oil went from, I think, like 146 to 136 or something like that. It was like a $10 drop.
Right.
I wish I could attribute it directly to that. I'm not sure that I can.
That's good enough for me, though, Max.
it is definitely a good a step in the right direction. But the market is a pretty smart place.
Yep.
And even it recognizes that that President Bush's words, while welcome, still were more symbolic than substantive, because to really get the offshore drilling up and running, to get the production from the Outer Continental Shelf, from ANWR and places where it's currently off limits, it's going to require more than just President Bush's executive order. It's going to require Congress to act to change the law.
And that's exactly right. And the point, though, and everybody keeps talking about, well, it's going to take so long. Well, you know what, folks? It's going to take forever if we don't get started. And the other thing is, what is speculation? Speculation is about the future. And if we can do something today that will impact our supply in the future, then you're going to impact prices today, because today is the day the speculators are speculating on the future.
No, you're absolutely right about that. And I'm not sure, you know, when you hear the word speculators, people don't realize that, but that's what it is. It's a bet on future price.
Hold on to that thought, Max. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Max Schultz is our guest. He's senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute Center for Policy, for Energy Policy. We come back. Max is an energy expert, folks. I'd like to know what he thinks about T. Boone Pickens' energy program. Have you been seeing this? I like Boone Pickens. Let's see what Max has to say about this after these messages. 20 after. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. Use them to your advantage. We built them for you. No barriers to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us. You don't have to tell us who you are. You don't have to sign anything or give us your email address or remember a password. Everything is wide open. All you got to do is come in and use our stuff. And we built it for you, and of course, we hope you'll thank our sponsors who helped us do all that. If you want the newsletter, if you'd like to subscribe to my free newsletter, we do need to have your email for that. Otherwise, we can't send it to you. So check that out, and the smallbusinessadvocate.com is where you can find the show and all the other things we do here, and the newsletter. And then, of course, our knowledge base, askjim.biz, where you get small business answers now. Max Schultz is our guest, and he is senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute's Center for Policy for Energy Policy. Max, the president threw down the gauntlet at the Congress recently, and wants to lift the ban on drilling. Is it offshore or just anywhere?
Well, it's offshore, the Outer Continental Shelf. It's held
right.
There's plenty of federal lands, you know, in the mainland and also up in Alaska, which are currently
yeah.
offsets for energy exploration, under which we know there are large volumes of oil and natural gas.
But lifting that ban, will that also lift the ban on ANWR?
It won't.
Okay.
Congress has to act on that.
That's a separate issue, right?
It is, yes.
But he threw down the gauntlet.
But on a slightly different technicality. But
it's going to take the gavel's going to have to drop on it separately, right?
Right.
Okay, so the Congress now, the gauntlet's been thrown down before them, and how are they responding? How are the Democrats in control of Congress responding to Mr. Bush's desire to drill in the outer shelf?
Well, they're responding with the same intransigence which defined their energy policies for years. They're not moving. I mean, it's there's definitely public anger growing and public support for drilling. With oil trading well over $100, with gasoline well over $4 a gallon, people are getting upset. You are seeing some members of Congress who are, getting religion, so to speak, on these issues. So far, though, that doesn't include the Democratic leadership in Congress.
They won't even let it come to Pelosi. Speaker of the House Pelosi won't even let it come to a vote on the floor, will she?
No, she won't. I mean, and this has been the way it's been for years. Anwar has, for instance, the opening of Anwar has a large support in Congress, and 4 or 5 years ago, it passed the House of Representatives overwhelmingly, and there was plenty of support for the Senate. Tom Daschle wouldn't let it come to a vote. There was more than a majority of senators wanted to open it. I'm not sure it was a veto proof majority, but Daschle wouldn't even allow it to come to the floor. That has been a staple they're obviously the Republicans who've been kind of bad on these issues, but it has been a staple of Democratic Party dogma.
Well, they're so beholden to the environmentalists. I mean, they're completely beholden to the environmentalists, who fight future drilling tooth and nail. I mean, once somebody gets a lease, they've still got to deal with lawsuits that the environmentalists will mount against the energy companies. Let me ask you a question, Max. Is there any doubt in your mind, as an energy expert, is there any doubt in your mind that had we not had the ban on offshore drilling, that we would have $125 oil prices right now?
There's no doubt in my mind that prices would be a lot lower. Our energy companies have been chomping at the bit to look for oil and produce oil from these oil-rich areas offshore and in Anwar for years. Adding that extra supply to the market at a time when one of the reasons why prices are so high is because of the very tight margins between the supply and demand. Having an extra million barrels a day from Anwar, maybe several million barrels a day from places offshore.
Yeah.
It's not, in the grand scheme of things, not that much.
It's enough of a margin to lower prices.
Exactly.
Max, let me say this. My audience knows that I believe that we've got to do a lot of things. We've got to conserve. We've got to find new alternative energy. We've got to explore more. We've got to be smarter about all this. And I believe we need to do that. But which brings me to Mr. T. Boone Pickens' proposal that I want to ask you about. Now, many people have seen his advertisements. You should have seen it. If you've watched any television, you've seen this. I admire him for stepping up and spending his own money and trying to get a debate going about energy policy. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I have to tell you that I'm not that I look at the particulars of his plan and I can't get on board with some of them. But I do. I agree with you on that sentiment. I admire the fact that this guy is spending his own money to try to advance the debate. I don't know if it really has caught fire. I don't know if it's a reflection of his ads or just kind of following the fact that people.
What he's stating some facts. He's stating some facts that people can get their hands around. 70% of our oil is coming from somewhere else.
Yeah, it's I do have some mild criticisms of Pickens on this. His ads kind of raised the specter that we're really beholden to some very bad people out there in the world. Our energy situation is not as clear cut as that.
$700 billion though. That's a
well, that's true.
He's
absolutely right to bemoan the wealth transfer to places like Venezuela and Saudi
Arabia. And that's coming home to roost in a lot of ways right now in the marketplace. Hey, Max, we've run out of time. Thanks for being here today. Will you come back another day and keep us posted on how things are going?
Absolutely, Jim. Anytime.
Manhattan-Institute.org, right?
Absolutely,
Is it .org or .com?
.org.
Okay, Manhattan-Institute.org. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.